You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We've seen what you can do. Wonders, your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. You are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. So glad that you are joining us today. We have a busy, busy lineup today, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Keep your dial set right here at 89.9. I want to welcome to the air our team. We have in the studio a number of wonderful friends.
Amen.
David, are you a friend?
I am certainly a friend.
Okay, and we have Alethea?
Althea.
Althea.
Althea. Yes. I'm going to get this right.
Okay.
The Lord's going to help me.
Yes.
Althea is with us.
Amen.
And Althea, we're going to be talking in just a few moments about God's awesome work in her life, which is powerful, powerful journey. A lot of people get stuck somewhere along the way. Althea has actually found the grace of God to grow beyond a bunch of the hurts, the scuffs, and the scars that the enemy throws at us, and she has an awesome story. Rhett Palmer's with us, and Rhett, you are now...
What am I now?
You are now on WCNO 5 days a week.
That's what you were going to say. I'm now in trouble.
Rhett Palmer is with us at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
He gives us a great teaser for awesome interviews that happen in the afternoon, 3 to 4 o'clock, Monday through Friday.
Yes, sir.
And Rhett is, he's a veteran a long time. I'm going to learn a lot from him. If he can put up with me, we'll see how that works. But God's grace is sufficient. Right, Althea?
That's right.
God's grace is sufficient.
I'm all God's grace.
Amen, amen. Did you tell everybody hello, Althea? I mean.
No, I didn't. But I want to say praise the Lord to all our listeners.
Amen.
I just want to say God bless you. Keep holding on. Keep listening. Mm. Keep tying into the family, to the body, you know, especially this end time.
Amen.
It's good to have a family where you can encourage your faith.
Connect.
You know, to connect.
Amen.
Amen. Continue in the Lord.
Koinonia, you know? that community the Holy Spirit brings us. And Miss Karen, the dog lover.
Yeah.
No. Cat lover.
Cat lover, yeah.
I get mail with cats on it because people know Karen likes cats.
What kind of cats do you have?
Well, I have just one now. No, it's just a regular domestic short hair.
Don't get it started, Rhett, because this goes, it's like that song that goes on and on and on, you know, because people will call and.
But no. I do have a cat story real quick.
Before we go to Tom, are you,
yeah,
Tom, are
on,
you
Tom.
Out there?
Yes, my brother.
Okay,
hold on.
Stand by, Tom. There's one cat story you've got to put up with first, okay?
So, you know, one of my two cats passed away a couple of months ago.
Sorry.
And recently, you know, right around that time, there was a stray cat that's been roaming around the backyard and just scaring the heck out of the little girl that I have. So Kevin was out a trap so that we could trap it and nicely take it to Humane Society. So after trapping two raccoons, you know.
Hey, worm, these are not cats.
And having to free them because this cat would come around and torment my cat at the windows and out on the back porch. Anyway, so I told my husband, please set the trap. We put it right outside the porch, and that little guy went in it, you know, probably around midnight last night. So my husband took him over to the Humane Society. Terrible thing to do, but, you know, everybody has to keep their cats indoors. You know, why should your cat be allowed out and terrorize the neighborhood?
Well, let's not get catty now.
That's right.
Okay, well.
That's my story. Thank you.
You sticking to it?
I am.
Well, once again, this is the crew for Wednesday Live, and we have some great guests. We're going to be talking about some great things. But we need to start with Tom LaPerry. Tom, you are getting ready to go on a mission trip to Costa Rica. Give us the 1 minute thumbnail. I know you were there like a year ago. You're getting ready to go back, and you want all of our listeners to have an opportunity to be a part of this ministry trip. Tell us what they can do.
Yes. Good morning, everybody in WCNO land. My brothers and sisters in Christ, God bless you. Jonathan, it's prayer come true. I've made several attempts to try to go on a missionary trip to different countries, and like two or three of them in the past never panned out. But last year was my first year with an organization called Praying Pelican, and we leave through Westside Church up here in Fort Pierce. So last year was my first one. It was during COVID, and so we got down there, and every year we have a goal of feeding 25 families. We bring Bibles, we bring new clothing, we have a Sunday school type atmosphere for all the children. First day was like 15 children, the second day was like 30 children. Well, the day we closed it up, there was over 100 children that we ministered to and blessed them, and it's just incredible to see the other side, a different part of the world of, how people live, and then want to help go down and help them and bless them. Well, we took a lot of pictures last year, and we saw the children, no shoes, little boys and little girls walking around with Pampers on, and there's a lot of stories that we were part of, knocking on doors with the local pastor, Pastor Fidel in Costa Rica, and we stayed with him, and we did repairs on the church and things that you do on a missionary trip.
Sure, but painting and such forth. Yep.
You know, the really important thing was the spiritual part of it, ministering to people at night and men in a park where men hang out and, they don't know the Lord. But back to the children. The Lord just put it on my heart to really take notice of they're not wearing any type of shoes. So maybe about 5 months ago, I was praying about it, and I just felt like the Lord called it Sandals for Costa Rica. So what we're trying to accomplish is, and I'm really speaking to the women, my sisters, that know children's sizes. From were 2 years old when they start walking, or a year and a half when they start walking. So that size shoe for boys and girls up to, maybe 10 years old, 12 years old, something like that. So our whole goal is to help use everybody, my brothers and sisters, to bless these children. We're going to physically take them down there. We leave out of Miami on July 2nd. We return on the 9th. So we're down there that whole holiday week, ministering, blessing, feeding, and the list just goes on and on, Jonathan.
Mm. All right, so Tom, awesome plan. Your goal is to collect how many pairs of sandals?
Yes. Thank you for always bringing me back, brother. Our goal is 100 pairs of shoes. I'm saying shoes, I mean sandals.
Sandals.
Anything with an open toe, not like a school shoe, although whatever we bring, I know the Lord's going to find, somebody to wear that. But yeah, our goal is to bring 100 pairs, and we'll give them out when we knock on doors and ask the mother what size shoes they would need for whoever's there, and we're just going to give them out. We're out 4 days that week, going to specific families that are in need to bless them. And like I said, this is something that I really feel like the Lord really has put on all of our hearts to get one pair. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, we will bring them down there. And if we have extra, we will leave them with the pastor, Fidel. And again, we're going to go back again next year. So it's just, and John, I just want to share this one part. When I was there last year, everywhere I went and looked up in the sky, I just saw the scripture, it's better to give than receive.
Amen. Amen.
And we all know what a blessing it is to give, to people that are in need. So that's kind of, really simple. We're going to pick them up. You could drop them off. Jonathan will give you the information at the Westside Church or the WCNO office. We'll need them by that Friday before, not that Friday.
June the 24th. June the 24th. Okay,
yeah,
so...
because we got to pack them and get everything ready.
Exactly. So let me just give our listeners some of the nuts and bolts here. Okay, we're talking about a mission trip. We need to have the sandals collected by June the 24th. There are two places you can drop sandals off, and these are for children. You can drop them off in Fort Pierce at Westside Church. Westside Church. I do not have the address in my hand, but I'm sure we can find that. And Ames Pittman at Westside Church. Now, who is that? Is that a contact?
Yes.
Okay, yes. So Ames Pittman, that would be Ames at westside.church. Let me say that again. Ames at westside.church. And so you can connect with them. This is a mission trip that is going to be going out from the church, but it's actually with Pelican. What's the Pelican?
Yeah, a Praying Pelican.
Praying Pelican. Okay, that's a great name. All right, how many pairs of sandals do you already have? You're already started, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at them on my table here in our house, and we have about 15 pairs.
15 pairs right now, so we're already started. You can also drop sandals off at WCNO in Palm City right here at our radio station. We will be collecting them, and we're believing the Lord that we're going to raise the full 100 pairs. And, of course, I know my wife and I, we want to get involved in this. I think we have some others here at the studio that's going to get involved.
Are flip-flops acceptable or no?
Like I said, we're not going to refuse anything. I think the flip-flops won't last as long as a sandal, but, the person can decide that.
Yeah, so, they're going to accept what you bring, but at this point, we have room for about 85 additional pairs.
Yes.
And, you know, if what you have is a $20 bill or a $10 bill you want to drop by, I'm going to hand it off to Tom. And, Tom, you can pick up whatever else you need. So someone may want to drop off $100 or $500. I don't know. God may be touching somebody's heart today.
Yeah, God knows.
Amen. So, in any case, does the church have a fund set up where a donation could be made to the church for the mission trip and so someone could get taxed?
Yes, when somebody emails Ames, then he'll take care of that part where they can make a check out or a donation to the church, and then it'll be released back to us to buy whatever we need.
That's perfect. Now, Tom, we're going to be talking some more about this, so we're not going to take much more time this morning.
I have one thing to say though. Ahead. I think this is very important because people participating in this can save a lot of souls.
Yes.
No. Amen. Did you get it?
Souls.
I got it right.
Souls.
There you go.
Save a lot of souls. Yep.
Thank you, Rhett.
Hey, Rhett. And we're also going to play over them for the children like almost like what Peter did with his handkerchief type thing.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna pray over them and that the children would come to Christ at an early age.
I think what Rhett's saying, Tom, is give a soul, save a soul. I think that's what
Amen.
He's saying.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Tom, we love you. Give our love to your bride up there. Thank you for the work you're doing. And we're going to keep this mission trip lifted up in prayer as we get closer to the date. So we'll be looking to connect with you over the next few weeks as well. God bless. Have an awesome day. And collection is on now. Right now. Blessings, my brother. Keep up the good work. Goodbye.
Thank you all.
Sure.
Bye. That's great.
All right. So thank you, Rhett. That was good. You know, you had a catchy little thing there.
I've been hanging around David too much.
Yeah. Well, that's...
Yeah, and I apologize.
Well, that was Tom from West Side Mission Trip coming up. So you're listening to Wednesday Live, and we now are going to move to talk about a book, but it's not about a book. It's about a life that's been redeemed. Althea, we welcome you. Althea Amen. Smith. And you are from where?
I am actually from Jamaica. I was born in Jamaica.
Okay.
And I came to America when I was 12.
Okay.
And I was born to church, two parents who were both saved. I loved Jesus as a little girl. Came to America. My mother wasn't serving God anymore. No one wanted to serve God. No one wanted to go to church. I always loved church when I was a little girl. I received the Holy Ghost when I was around 5.
Wow.
And I just always been in love with Jesus. I had my first encounter at 3 years old. And I can tell you the day, the time,
really?
The moment.
3 years old.
I went to the altar by myself. My mom always knew I was different and I was a little out of the box. So I had my own mind even at 3. And that's when I had my first encounter. And God just, it's like an invisible hand. It's like a force that's held me at the altar and says, you are mine.
What made you slip away? And then tell us a story about you on the bus.
Yes.
Wait. Now, before we get on a bus, how did you get here?
In America?
I'm still in Jamaica.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did you get here?
In Jamaica, a lot of parents come to America.
Okay.
And they tell you, my mom was like, I'll be back for you guys in 4 years. She had 5 kids. So we had to live with our grandmother. So there were 17 children in the yard because my grandmother had 9 kids, 9 boys and 1 girl. And all the grandkids live in 1 yard. So, you know, you can imagine all the drama and the craziness and things like that.
So then the transition was to the Treasure Coast? Did you come?
No, my mom sent for us in Jamaica. So we came to America and I lived in the Bronx.
Okay.
And I grew up in the Bronx. And then my mom used to take us on trips to Manhattan. So, of course, a little Jamaican girl starts seeing wealthy people with big Coach bags, with big designer bags, and the fashion got my eye and just pulled me in. And, you know, I'm just saying, left Jesus behind. Honestly, I always loved him. But when you have parents that's not straying you in the right path, you know, they came to America, they were distracted. I call it distractions because that's what it is. They were distracted, you know, got their focus off of Jesus, and now everybody's chasing the wealth and the success. So when we came, you know, to America, we were taught, don't speak patois, you have to speak good English. We couldn't speak certain broken English in the house. Everything had to fit the American standard of where success is going to take you. And I was in fashion, and I grew up in fashion. I went to fashion high school. I went to Parsons School of Design, which is a fashion school. At 20 years old, I was a regional manager for 26 Saks Fifth Avenue stores. And that's 20 years old.
Wow.
And everyone's like, I don't know if you guys know Bergdorf Goodman in New York. That's like the highest you can go. I used to manage the 5th floor and I was like 21. You know, so it was like I was very ambitious. I wrote a marketing plan when I came to America. I didn't know what a marketing plan was, but I had a plan for my future, for my life, what I was going to do. You know, I didn't know specific, but fashion was where I was going. And I was actually on my way to Paris because I worked at Bergdorf. We increased the numbers. So now I want to get to Paris because, you know, you keep going up the ladder. You keep chasing to get to the higher place in your profession because that's what we're taught to do.
Sure.
And I'm telling you, I'm very ambitious, so it's very hard to stop me. And I was on the bus, 1997. I was on the bus across from Central Park going around because I worked at Bergdorf, which is like right on 58th Street and 5th Avenue. So you have to go around the park. And I lived in Harlem by choice. Beautiful place, beautiful brownstone. And this heavenly light just came over me. I didn't know it was Jesus. I didn't know it was God. But I know what beauty felt like. It was like perfection. it was like everything I thought, because I thought I was the it girl. You know, I was a size 2. My hair was perfect. I was skinny. I had a good life. You know, you think you have this life together. All my friends are famous and rich friends, and you're living good. You're not seeking for Jesus, you know, because everything is going good. And the person says, perfect life. And speaking to me, it's like your life looks perfect, and it's showing me like a white wall, and it's saying that's your life. But then it's showing me a light, like when you look into a bulb, you see how it says, I want your life to look like that. Your life looks great, but it's doing nothing, like it's not honored. Like it didn't, I don't know how to word it, but he was basically saying it's doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? It means nothing. You're chasing fashion, you're getting wealthy, you're doing nothing with your life, but looking good and being successful, but let's go and do something for the kingdom. And I'm not gonna lie, that moment I didn't know it was Jesus. I start to change immediately my music. I love rap. Everything started to change immediately. And I didn't know it was God. And 3 months later, it came again. And I was like, who are you? What is this? And he's like, brought me back to my youth when I was a little girl, when I met Jesus, how I loved him. That's what he like, you know, God has a way of, he can take your mind somewhere in 2 seconds. And he took my mind back to me as a little girl. I was like, oh my God, it's Jesus. I literally forgot him. We say his name, even when you're not saved, you might say Jesus, but you're still, it's a subconscious. You say Jesus, but that relationship wasn't there, that connection, the man I love, Jesus, like I always loved Jesus. Everyone knew I loved Jesus as a little girl. And he took me back, but I still didn't know to go back to church. So he came again in November, and he said, it's time to go back to church. And, you know, so I went back to church. I found a church. I researched like 6-7 different churches. You know, you're a modern girl. We're going to try this church and try this church. But I didn't feel that connection. And when I got to a little old-fashioned Pentecostal church in Queens, it was 2 hours away from where I lived. Wow. But when you're seeking for something and you find that you take that trip, I was really hungry and I really wanted God. And that experience was so beautiful, and I was ready. I really was. I wasn't asking to be ready, but when it came, I don't really reject God, because I always tell people, I said, how can you say no to God? Because he comes through you, and he knows how to touch on all those things that's missing within you. So it's really hard to say no when he really appears to you. And I'm not going to say I got saved and everything was pretty immediately. That whole year, I went from having a perfect life, little by little, it just turned upside down. I mean, every much. I'm used to being praised and being admired, and people are like, oh my God, she's so talented. When I got into the church world, it was rejection.
Okay,
rejection.
Althea. Now,
sorry.
We're going to pick that up next, because that's where the train wreck comes, right? Yeah. So, again, you're just tuning in, and you're going, who and what is going on in WCNO? This is Wednesday Live.
Yes.
And we have Althea Smith. She is here to share a bit about her journey, but the book that has been released by Althea Smith, The Journey, is now available
on Amazon.
iTunes.
Barnes and Noble,
a lot of different places you can get a hold of the book. All right, so you had your perfect little life. Not so much. God wasn't really in charge.
Right.
Now you've had a God encounter.
Yes.
Now what happens?
So I got into this little church, and everything I was literally wrong. But people saw my gift. So one day I preached. They asked me to come and minister, and the whole church went crazy. And this girl came up to me and she says, I know it looks beautiful. I know you sound great. Great presentation. You're well spoken. But there was no glory to God. You're all flesh. And she's, this is what she said to me.
Did that hurt?
Honestly, I really wasn't offended, because I didn't understand enough to realize what she was saying until I maybe like 5 years
it
ago.
It sunk in.
Like 5 years ago, I was like, she was a hater, but you know.
she was jealous. Surely something's wrong with her, right?
I did receive it from her.
Hold on, but the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend better than the kisses of an enemy.
And I like truth. I don't care who comes from. And I did receive what she said. And it did let me go deeper into searching. And one day I was lying on my bed, and it was a famous preacher. He's actually on WCNO as well. And God just opened my eyes, and he says, you have a lot of issues. He says, he said, I want to clean you up. I want to take you on a journey with me, and I want to show you who I really am. And he's like, hold my hand. I even went to Bible school. He says, nope, I don't want you to go to Bible school. Don't learn me. Walk with me. Because a lot of times we can quote scripture. Yeah. We're quoting from Genesis to Revelation. Mm-hmm. We'll tell you what scripture, what page, what it meant, where Palestine is, where the river was, where the... And God is like, I don't care about all that. I want you to learn about me. I want you to get to know me. He says, I want to be your everything. Because my boyfriend, you know how women feel about men. We love our... Girls, don't lie. We love our men. Most girls, we grow up, we want to get married. Our man is our God. That's what we seek life for, that. We want to find that perfect husband. And God says, I want to do that for you. Mm-hmm. I was scared because it was deeper than I understood coming from a fashion background. But he says, I want to be your everything. And I was in the church where it's all about Jesus. They preached it. I can't guarantee you when the test came that they lived it. But I meant it. I meant it. And God took a hold of me. I'm telling you, my life got so bad. The worse it got, it was just really bad.
Althea.
Yes, sir. Sorry. Really bad.
I'm reading about you feeling like you are on a cross.
Like a million spears going through my soul. It's like God just starts stripping everything away from me.
Somebody's listening today that's here. What you're saying is there's a whole lot more. God has a lot more for you if that's where you are.
And for... This is what the Lord told me. Everything I'm telling you is what God told me. He said, I want to do this process with every single human being. Amen. He said, but most don't really want me. They want my house. They want the car.
Want
they
the
want
stuff.
The husband.
Yeah. The hand.
But I can only give you what your heart desires. You understand?
Yeah.
Even though when you get into God, your heart changed. But there's a lot of people who really don't know Jesus. They really don't. Because we look at Jesus as the nice house. Oh, you're blessed. I have in my book, stop using the word blessed so often. We use everyone is blessed. So I was like, what about the poor person? Are they not blessed? Since material things mean you're blessed and you have favor with God, right? Mm-hmm. Having a big ministry, 5,000 member, mean you have favor with God.
Maybe.
So what about the way the world, the world uses these terms, it makes people chase after those things. Mm-hmm. Because it's all about, I went through and then look what happened. And God is like, Althea, you went through and what happened? Nothing. You just got better and you got deeper and you got to know me more. I'm not really in the stuff. I'm in the character.
Hallelujah.
I'm in the he's like, where's your love? Yes. He's like, where's your forgiveness? That's always God's focus with me. He doesn't talk to me about material things. Since 1997, God will tell you, I lived in the grave. I wake up sometime and think I'm in Mars because I'm just in this Jesus bubble. Mm-hmm. I want to come out and be normal like everyone else. But it's like God pulled me aside and we're watching the world pass by and I'm feeling, you know what I'm saying, like how he's feeling. He'll show me people who are, he's like, look at them. They're doing great. Mm-hmm. But when he shows up, they don't even recognize him. And if I'm spending 20 years with God, going through hell, praying, fasting, being broken, and then I show up to your church and you don't even... Like, you don't see him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're looking for the wrong thing. God is like, we're looking for the followings. We're looking for the person that has the great, you know, my father's a pastor. You know what I'm saying? I'm associated with this person. Mm-hmm. God is not in all of that. You know what I'm saying? He's like, look for me, the spirit
of
God.
There's no respecter of persons.
No respecter of person. He's looking for availability. And he just want to be loved. He's like, stop using me. Stop. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I like what you said. I like what you said. Don't stop learning me and walk with me, because it says in the scriptures they're forever learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth.
That's right.
Because the milk of the word is learning the word, but the meat of the word is feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, etc.
I can tell you God has brought me to different churches and he took me into a world I didn't know. I'm still unfamiliar with the church world. They still reject me. They're still not with me. And people tell me on Sunday someone was like, the glory of God is on you. He's like, I just see this light on you. But yet, I'm so rejected in the church. Mm-hmm. Like, they know God is with me. They know I have a testimony. They know I have the word for the hour, because I know I do. I have the message for this end time. Mm-hmm. And it's Jesus. That's it. Amen. I'm not going to do anything else.
Amen.
This is the message. Mm-hmm. It's not about the house. It's not about the car. It's not about the stuff.
Amen.
It's not about who's famous and who's popular. It's hard sometimes for us to even focus on God, because all these things are presented in front of us. And then we're thinking, you know what I'm saying, we're missing out because we don't have the accolades and all those things. But God is not really in that. When he comes to see you, he want to know if you just love him.
Let me ask the pastor this. Doesn't it say in the end times the air from the way of truth? seeking after riches and will therefore pierce themselves.
Looking for things to tickle their ears instead of change their hearts. David, you had something.
I just had a comment.
We are kind of running out of time, so we need to be mindful of that.
Well, this is a comment, and it's to say that today the fashion statement you're making is to be fully adorned with the armor of God.
Ah, very good.
I mean, that really struck me. As God is, okay, all that's gone, the armor of God, which is what we all need to put on.
Mm. All right, the last, actually, it's 11:30 now, so we are actually out of time, but I wanted to say this. The book, The Journey, is available, Althea Smith. And if you're listening today, what you're hearing is real. You're not hearing a production. You're hearing what is real when God is at work in your heart. And I love it. I want to read your book. And I think Rhett's going to be looking to do a more in-depth interview with you.
Amen.
And we are blessed to have you at the station today. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you very much.
But I see here the Savior of my soul, my sustaining power, kept me, so he's keeping you.
Amen. Everything I am is
He healed me.
Everything I am.
I'm healed. He taught me. He's still teaching, right?
That's right.
And he loves me.
Amen.
And God stood by me when everybody else failed to be there.
Amen.
Althea, this is an awesome story of your life. Thank you for coming. We look forward to being better acquainted.
Yes. Amen. Yes. God bless you all. And hold on to Jesus, amen. No matter what. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to be right back. Wednesday Live, WCNO in Palm City, Florida.
Now, where do you live?
If my people call by my name, will humble themselves and pray. If they seek my face and turn from their sins, I will hear, I will forgive, and I will heal their land. My people call by my name, humble themselves and pray. If they see my face and turn from their sins, I will hear, I will forgive, and I will heal their land. My eyes shall be open, and my ears will attend to the prayers that are spoken from the hearts of humble men. I have chosen and blessed that my name may be yours. I've set my heart upon you, and my love will always endure. If my people call by my name, humble themselves and pray. If they turn from their sins, I will heal, I will forgive, and I will heal their land. Let's seek him while he's listening.
And this is Wednesday Live, coming to you from Palm City, Florida, 89.9. And we now have another guest that's joining us, and we are so glad that we could make this connection today. And David, you actually met this guest, I believe, in Orlando at an event. And why don't you just welcome Norman online.
Well, my friends in WCNO land, I would like you to meet Norman Sargent.
Welcome, Norman.
And Norm, you there, buddy?
Yes.
Oh, good. I wanted to mention, Norm was the first person that my wife and I met. We went to the International Christian Music or Film and Music Festival in Orlando back in the early part of May. And Norm was there with his books. And we just like, Lord drew a beeline right to you, Norm. And you were sitting there with your books and this big smile on your face. And you're the first person we talked to. And we ended up getting a copy of each of the books, Norm, and I've read both of them. And but today is, by the way, Author's Day. We just had a lovely lady here with her book. And your books are different, but they tell the same story. It's the gospel story. Now, you've written two books. The first one is a children's book, Jashur and Azor's Adventures to Noah's Ark. And having a daughter who grew up, you know, and reading kids' books, I wish I'd have had this book when she was a kid, I'm telling you, because there wasn't a lot of... But it's a great story of becoming, spiritual growth, moving through the life to the Noah's Ark, two caterpillars, Jashur and Azor. I'll ask you to talk a little bit about them in a minute. But, you know, caterpillars become butterflies, and isn't that the goal of every Christian is to
Amen.
Grow and become? And the other book is for adults, and it's entitled Faith Adventures, Volume 1, Can God's Unsearchable Riches Be Discovered? And I'm going to give you a chance to talk in a minute, Norm, but as an intro, this book is really your testimony broken up into 50 chapters where you talk, it's basically sin and redemption, what God is doing in your life, the before and after, and circumstances that are all circumstances we run into. It's a powerful book, it's real, it tells Norm's story, and Norm's story is our story. And so with that introduction, brother, welcome to WCNO.
Yes.
And tell us, now I also want to mention that you're an evangelist, and you're currently, and I didn't get the name of the church you're involved in Orlando, but you may want to mention that.
Yes, but I do a lot of social media as an evangelist.
Okay. So use that platform to get the word of God out. You graduated.
Yes, I believe very strongly in discipleship.
You graduated from the Nazarene Bible College in 1984, you have been sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ at every opportunity. And these two books are a great opportunity. Tell us how they came about.
Excuse me?
Norm, tell us how these books came about. I know God led you to write them, but what was going on behind that?
Well, the children's book, Jasmine and Azra's Adventures to Noah's Ark, that came about actually through the time of worship about 3 years ago or so in a vision. And the Lord was showing me a vision of a caterpillar going on an ark. And I just asked the Lord, because I always ask him when he shows me vision, what's this about? So then I go to the Bible, and the Bible says every creeping thing went on Noah's ark, including the insects. Mm. And so that's how this book was birthed, and the Lord miraculously, with the creative power that he's put within me, gave me the whole story to be able to give it to children.
I've read it, it's a powerful story. It gets the point across very clearly. And if you're a God-loving parent that has this book, it's one of the, I think it's a good resource to bring your kids to Christ and remind them of what's going on.
Christmas is coming.
Yes, I was going to say, and Christmas is coming.
It's good to get good materials into the hands of our kids, for sure. I continue to have devotions, you know, with my family, and between me and my boys, Norm, we've always taken time to read, and having good material that stimulates their minds and their hearts and their spirits to follow God is an awesome thing. That's great.
Amen. Now, how can a person obtain these books? What outlets are they available on?
Amazon. And you can see both Amazon books by, under my name, Norman Sergeant, Sergent, no A's.
Okay.
Or you can go to my website, which is ARK, A-R-K, Adventures, with a S, arkadventures.org. You can see both books. You can see a trailer on the children's book and the other information, of course, in ordering the book.
And you can also order from the website.
Hearts. That's why God had me write it. He told me, he says, I want to touch children's hearts in our day.
Amen.
Amen. That's great.
Now, and now the other book really touches adults' hearts, the Faith Adventures, Volume 1.
Faith Adventures, Volume 1. I call it Volume 1 because I've had an amazing life in Christ for 45 years, walking obediently under Him.
That's a,
and the other book was birthed, actually, because I was writing a lot of things. I do a lot of writing other than these books. And people would say, you write real good, but you write too much. And I would seek the Lord, and the Lord would say short stories. So that's how this book was birthed. God birthed this book also, and they're all short stories, easy read. There's 50 episodes. It's almost like it'd be a devotion, of course, and all. And what's unique, I don't think there's very many books written like it in the sense of, I talk about my childhood experiences from literally birth all the way up till I come to know Christ at the age of 29 years old. And it's unbelievable how you can see God's imprints in your life in this book. And it's just amazing what the people tell me when they read the book.
You know, and I've, as I said, I read both books. And when I got into Faith Adventures, Norm, I'm reading your story, but I'm saying this is me, and I'm seeing similar myself in similar situations again before and after I met Jesus, and you and I have been walking with Him for about the same amount of time. It's because of that I strongly recommend this book for not just brand new Christians, but seasoned veterans of the cross, and also to give to unbelievers. Have you had any reports from people who have read the book as, in terms of, you know, testimonies about how God touched their lives?
Well, I have one report I'll never forget. This lady, I gave the book 3 years ago when it first came out, and she hardly even touched the book. But her son, at 8 years old, picked it up one day, and he came to Christ because of reading my book.
Wow. Well, so in a way, it could be a children's book, too. Right?
Yeah, there's a lot of other stories right within the book, as you read.
Yes. Well, it touches every aspect of the human life, really.
People to know that you don't have to have any kind of position to have a glorious life in Christ.
Amen.
Because I don't. I don't have any kind of position. I label evangelist because that's what God told me I am, and other people, of course, and all. But, you know, like you said, the subtitle, Can We Discover God's Unsearchable Riches?
Amen.
Yes, we can.
Yep.
If we seek Him with all of our heart, we'll find Him. That's what the Word says.
Well, children are hungry today, and I was in a bookstore recently. And I said, what's the number one selling book to Lynn? She's the she's the manager at Books A Million up in Vero Beach. And she said, she took me over to this counter, and it's all these books, and they look like Japanese cartoons, but they're in English. And she said kids will come in and spend up to $2,000 a day on these books. So they are hungry, and there is great and grand opportunity to reach young people with children's books like this. And so that's a wonderful thing you're doing.
Amen.
And it is wonderfully how this book came out. It's just beautifully done. my story, but of course the publisher did a beautiful job on it, of course, and so it's all fully colored, illustrated. You can actually get it on Amazon Kindle for only $3.99 if that's what you prefer.
Yeah, portable. Yeah, well, books are portable anyway, but the Kindle is even more electronically available.
Who does the illustrations, did he say?
Yeah, I didn't ask him, but who does the illustrations for the kids' book?
The illustrations?
Yeah, in the kids' book.
The illustrations.
Jasher and Ezra.
The drawings.
The drawings, let's see.
Who does the drawings in your book?
Well, I had a lot of time talking with this publisher, the people that do the illustrations and all, to get this thing done rightly. It was almost a battle to get it done rightly, if you understand what I'm saying.
Right. Well, this was not a Christian publishing house.
The story as I've seen it, you understand.
Right. Well, apparently you got the word out. You communicated because it's a well done piece. And it really does speak to the art guides you through that in the text. You really want to find out what happens to these caterpillars. So we're almost out of time, Norm. So I'd like for you to tell us again how people can get these books and how they can contact you.
Okay, they can contact me if they like it. My phone number, 407-489-5679. Now, they can go to Amazon if that's what they prefer, mm-hmm. and they can just key in my name, Norman Sergeant, S-E-R-G-E-N-T, no A's, and they can also go to my website, arcadventures.org, and they'll even see a trailer for the children's book and other information, of course, and all.
That's
and
great.
Thank you for the opportunity to be able to share this. And my idea and way of thinking is if only one person is touched by the book, it's worth
Amen.
All the money
Amen.
And the effort spent if only one person is touched.
That's truly the heart of Christ, and I saw that when we met back at the festival, Norm. I have every reason to believe we're going to be in touch again. I want to know when Faith Adventures Volume 2 comes out. I want you to let us, because I'm pretty sure it's underway.
That will be my Bible college days. I'm working on
that, brother, because this ministers to people. Thank you so much for being willing to be interviewed and being on the air with us today, folks. If you want to get a copy of Norm's book and you didn't...
Well, have an amazing day, because that's my saying. Every day is an amazing day.
It Amen. Sure is. You too, brother.
Right.
Thank
Blessings,
you.
Blessings, Norman.
All
Take
right.
care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bless you all and your
Bye.
Service.
Thank
Bye.
You. Goodbye.
Bye.
That's so cool.
Amen. Well, we do have Ma and Paul that are showing up right now at
They've
this time.
And yep.
I know we have John Nelson still today that we're looking to get an update because John, with families recover, is going to have a good word for us. Well, have you ever been caught in the middle of events that were so out of control, you felt you had to do something? Your beliefs and values were being challenged, and somehow you had to mount a defense. Paul's feeling like this today. He's been sitting and talking with some friends who also share his frustrations. From that confabulation, Paul has come up with a plan to focus his struggles into something positive and maybe even life-changing.
Hey, Ma, you got a minute?
Yeah, I got a minute. Maybe even two or three if you need them.
Well, I might need all of them and more. I got something real big inside of me, Ma. It's a spiritual thing, and I'm about to burst.
Well, if you're going to burst, let's get it outside. I just mopped the floor.
Now, you know what I mean.
Of course I do. You get like this every now and then. You get into God's Word, and that leads you to deep prayer. Then God gives you something bigger that then you can handle, and boom, you explode with zeal and passion for ministry. Then you go out and do whatever God has told you to do.
Hey, that's pretty much it, Ma.
So, what's God got you fired up to do now?
Well, God got me up at 3 this morning. Actually, it started last night. I was reading my Bible in bed, and I fell asleep. I guess the Bible fell from my hands and landed open on the floor. So when my eyes popped open at 3 a.m., I rolled over and I fell out of bed. I landed face down on my Bible.
Well, that had to be of God, Pa, because I hardly ever seen you with your nose in a book.
That's a joke, right? Anyway, that nose you just made famous was pointing to Isaiah 30, verse 8. This is how it goes. And now, go write it before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. Now, before I fell asleep, I was asking the Lord to show me about that thing I spoke of earlier, that big thing growing in my spirit, what he wants me to do. And that verse from Isaiah said it all. He wants me to write a book.
A book? Are you sure, Paul? I mean, I ain't disbelieving that the Lord can make that happen. But you ain't much of a writer. I don't mean to speak badly of you, Pa, but your idea of writing exercises, making a grocery list.
Yeah, I know. But I also know that God can give a man his power to do anything. Remember what the scripture says? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
So, you're going to write a book. What about?
Well, I believe it's going to be written to the church. You know, we both have been concerned about the state of the church ever since we come to know God is about to ignite a revival here in America.
That's true. The church don't seem to be strong enough to get involved with the harvest of souls that a revival brings.
Exactly. Well, the other day, I was talking to that young pastor at the Edge of Life Church, and I asked him about the revival. He said there ain't going to be any need for revival because God's just going to do what he wants anyway, no matter what's going on with his people. He said he's been telling his congregants to just hunker down and keep out of the way of society and hope for the best.
Oh, good grief, Pa. Sounds like a cowardice to me.
Yeah, me too. And last week I had a conversation with the pastor at the Church of God's Magnificence. You know, them folks that have what they call holy entertainment every Sunday. Anyway, he believes that America is way past being revived. He even thinks we're already in the tribulation.
And he's teaching that to his people, I bet.
Oh, for sure. Why, in fact, he told me to check out his YouTube video on the subject. But I figure I'll just pass on it. But it's these and other conversations I've had with pastors and with their people that got me into prayer in the first place. And that got me up close to the Lord who give me this big thing he wants me to write.
Well, Pa, I know God can get folks to do whatever he wants them to do, even when those folks don't have any obvious gifts to get the task done. So if he's calling you to write a book for the church, well, I guess you better get started.
That's what I figure, too. But I ain't never wrote a book before. So, I thought I'd call up old Maria Fortunato and see if she can give me some hints.
Maria Fortunato? But, Pa, she wrote a cookbook 5 years ago to raise funds for a youth ministry trip. It was just a collection of her recipes. And I gotta tell you, most of them purely stunk.
Yeah, I know. One you cooked was so bad I had to bury it in the ground. And the next day, I found four raccoons had dug it up and died.
What about old Myron Dombrowski? He writes those technical manuals for a computer company.
Well, I read one of them manuals. If I wrote my book like he writes, the church would never get what God is telling me. I might as well write it in Hungarian, and it would be more understandable.
Okay. How about old Lucius Bladman? He's a reporter for Bickers Corner Trumpeteer. Now, here's a fellow that writes for a living.
Oh, I hadn't thought of him, Ma. He might be helpful. But you know, the newspaper he works for has not been favorable to the church these days, and they tend to give articles from all them national news outlets. So if I tell him it's for the church, he might refuse.
He might. But on the other hand, if you tell him about what God gave you and what you believe it's going to say, he might just get interested. Who knows? He might even ghostwrite it for you.
No way. I ain't going to have no one call in evil spirits to help write this book, and that's final.
Pa, ghostwriting is when someone hires a writer to put their thoughts into book form. The one with the idea gets his name on the cover of the book, even though they didn't actually write every word.
Oh. Well, now, you know, that just might work. if Lucius would work with me.
Well, you won't know till you ask, Paul.
I suppose. And now that we've been talking, I'm feeling the need to return to the Lord in prayer. I need more divine guidance.
Who knows, Paul? You might turn out to be another Ernest Hemingway.
Who? Wait, ain't that the feller what invented the vacuum cleaner? Why would you be thinking of him, Ma?
Never mind, Pa. Just pray.
Well, like many believers today, Ma and Pa are deep in prayer for our nation and world. The result of such passionate prayer is God's revelation, and the whole church surely needs this today. Paul's wrestling with a call to write something that will speak to the larger church, and for each one of us who believe, God is calling us to listen for his guidance. Every Christian today is on the front lines in the battle with the devil and his minions. As we pray, God and his angels battle in the spiritual realm. God is always victorious, and when those victories are accomplished, they always manifest in the natural realm. Paul's desire to write a book is one of those victorious manifestations. And other Christians are being urged in the Spirit to bring forth the fruit of their prayer. You and I are being filled up with the Holy Spirit power so that we might pour it out into the world around us today. What has God given to you, my friend?
Good question.
Good question, good question. I am going to see if I can get a hold of our friend John Nelson. And did we have any mail or anything to share with our people?
I have not seen any mail. Have you seen any, Dave?
I have to admit that there is a piece, but it's back on my desk, way in the North 40.
Okay.
I apologize for that. It's
there.
Quite a hike.
We can ask Paul to go get that.
I don't know if Paul can do that or not. Let's see if we can get a hold of John Nelson.
In a timely manner.
Yeah, in a timely manner. No. Let's see if John's still available today.
Hello.
John Nelson, we are on the air live because we have limited time. Welcome. And, of course, you are coming to us with some great news about an upcoming event. And for people who don't know about Families Recovery, recover.org yet, they need to find out. John, welcome.
Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
John Nelson, FamiliesRecover.org started 10 years ago as Families Against Drunk Driving. We had some personal stuff going on, and we sought help through other ways, and we saw the need. So that's how Families Against Drunk Driving started. And 3 years later, with the opioid and heroin stuff going on, we added FamiliesRecover.org. So, we're addiction successful. And prevention. We're an education outlet. We work with a lot of families, restoring them and getting their kids back and, you know, just a lot of great things. People do recover. You know, we have personal losses. I mean, we're losing 3,000 a day to overdose.
Wow.
So, you know, that's our mission. And we got a great golf event. It's sold out, thank God. And you guys helped a big time. We have two teams from your radio station.
Awesome.
Wow. And, you know, we could have done better in the sponsor area, but God provides. And we're at 100 golfers. We're totally ready to go. The food's ordered, and we got plenty of water. 91 degrees and sunny on Friday.
There you go. All right.
You know, but we're pretty blessed. This is our first time we've moved it up from PGA National. And we're just excited that COVID's taking a back seat, and we're actually going to get back to doing some fundraising.
Praise God. Yeah, this is awesome. So you could still use a sponsor or so, or
you know, we could use a lunch sponsor, and we could use a golf cart sponsor.
What would that look like if somebody's listening today, John? If somebody said, well, maybe I could be a part of that, what would that look like for it?
We're 501c3 for 10 years, so you know, the lunch is for 100 people is like $2,000.
Okay.
You know, completely tax deductible. Golf cart at this time, because we probably couldn't get signs in time, that would probably be something we couldn't do.
Okay.
But, you know, there's always the next event.
There you go.
That's right.
All right. Well, John, as always, when I think about it's 3,000 a day that are dying from addiction.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a big number, and you're on the front line right here in the Treasure Coast of Florida. You're a dear friend to this ministry, and we hear from you often because what you're doing really matters. Your front line. And I'd like to give you an opportunity just lead us in prayer as we're kind of closing out our Wednesday Live today. And we want to agree with you for this event and for the lives of those that God's going to give us an opportunity.